Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
The air smells sweeter and the beers taste colder after the Aussies retained the Ashes on English soil for the first time in 18 years. It was closer than we expected on the last day at Old Trafford, but as Josh Hazlewood cannoned into Craig Overton's pad and Kumar Dharmasena raised the finger to confirm an unassailable 2-1 series lead, the celebrations could commence. Welcome to a special edition of the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast, where we will hear from legends of cricket speaking exclusively to Triple M about Australia's historic victory. We'll hear from Shane Warne, Matt Hayden, Rodney Hogg, Merv Hughes, Cameron White and Mick Molloy. Just the 13,369 test runs, 1,048 test wickets, and a top-rating national drive show between them. I'm your host, Rudy Etzel. Joining us on the pod, as ever, is the resident pom Matt Bellotti, who has copped a fair whack since yesterday. How are you travelling, Bellots?
Yeah, thanks, Rudy. Still probably better than Jason Roy's prospect of a test career after this series, I reckon.
There's no need for that. Still more than enough time for a career-saving ton at the Oval. We'll begin right at the top with the King himself. Triple M's hot breakfast in Melbourne. We're able to speak with Shane Keith Warne as he drove back from Manchester after the match.
G'day, Ed. G'day, guys. How are we?
Good, mate. Tell us about it. It was just an amazing scene for Australia to win the Ashes with one test match remaining.
Yeah, amazing, mate. I mean, this series has really captured the public's imagination here. The crowds and the atmosphere have been unbelievable. I mean, you saw all the pictures and everything at Leeds in that last test match when Ben Stokes' heroics, and then this test match, every ball from the start of the day, there was 98 overs, got down to the last hour, and every ball was being ridden by the crowd. There was roars at every block, and it really was an amazing atmosphere. But to see Australia win, they deserve to win. I think they've played the better cricket through this series, and they deserve to win today.
Warner, we've got to ask you about Steve Smith and where he places in your mind, but the 82 in the second innings off 92 balls, to play that under the pressure he was under and to score as quickly in those conditions, can you talk us through how special that innings was in particular and his whole Ashes series so far?
Yeah, good call, Darce. I mean, when Australia thought, once they bowled England out and decided to bat again, they got past a follow-on and there's basically a 200-run lead, you thought Australia will get through the first half an hour and then put the foot down and try and have 15, 20 overs out of that night. But to England's credit, they came out and had Australia 4 for 40. And there was just that, which meant Australia were like 4 for 240. And with Smith at the crease, they get Smith out there and suddenly they might knock Australia over. They might only chase 280 or 300. They have a lot of time to do it. And then to play that 82, as you talked about, off 90-odd balls, to get Australia out of trouble, to give them a chance to put the foot down and then declare and have those crucial overs that night to get a wicket or two, which they end up getting two, that was the difference. And to play under that pressure, to get it done there, to allow Australia to get into that position to declare and put pressure on England was just fantastic batting.
Warnie, once again, it was a leg spinner that got the job done for us, Manus Labuschagne. Clearly he's a batsman, not a leggy by trade, but how did he roll them over in your professional opinion?
Manus Labuschagne.
Bold Labuschagne. Bold Labuschagne. Bold Manus. Hey, Warnie, just on that question, as an adjunct to it, it's been reported this morning that Manus has come out and said, a brief session with Shane Warne and Manus Labuschagne talked technique and tactics, including the precious nugget that helped the Queenslander deliver the crucial wicket his side need on Sunday. Quote from Manus, with Warnie, we were just working on coming wider on the run up to give myself a better angle through the rough. I dragged the ball before down and I was just like, just trust it, just trust it. It seemed to work out perfectly. Tell me about that little training session you had with Manus.
You know, he was the one that delivered the ball. He just asked me through the test match as the test match started to wear and tear and it looked like it was going to turn and bounce a bit more. And the footmarks were starting great. He was just having a few in the warm-ups in the morning. He just grabbed me and just asked me a few questions about bowling around the wicket and over the wicket and different things. And then we just adjusted his run-up, just watched him bowl a bit and spoke to him about alignment and just about the target and how to bowl into the rough. And I was like, when he got the ball on and Tim Payne gave him the ball, I thought, geez, if he bowls a bit of full tosses and some rubbish here, I could imagine some journos and people out there would say, geez, Warne had a good impact on him. So I'm glad to see he actually landed a good one and sort of made me feel pretty good that the leggy got that crucial wicket to break the partnership and help Australia win. It was nice to, you know, have a chat with Labuschagne and have a little session with him. It was good.
Warnie, what's the bowling lineup going into the fifth test, do you think?
Yeah, good question. I mean, whatever we need to do to keep Cummins and Hazelwood on the park, they have been absolutely amazing in this series. You think of all the cricket Cummins has played. Hazelwood missed the first test, then came in. They've been rotating. But Cummins has been there all summer over here. The World Cup, the Ashes, the whole Australian summer. He has not had a break. And to see him bowling the way he is, Cummins and Hazelwood will definitely play, because Australia haven't won an Ashes series in England since 2001 in 18 years over here. And if England win, it's 2-2, and that's not the right, I don't believe that'll be a right reflection on how well Australia played this year. They deserve to win the series and win over here. So they've got to get it right. I think Stark was pretty good. He was picked for this surface, especially for this test match. He's had a rest. But I think going to the over, I think one of the Victorians, either Pattinson or Siddle, my choice would be Pattinson comes in for Stark. For that last test match, too many New South Welshmen, too many blue baggers. Victoria in there for sure. So get Pattinson in for Stark in that last test match, and I'm not sure what they're going to do about the batting. I'd stick with Warner, because the first test match in Australia, David Warner will be opening. Broad's got the wood in him. He's all over him like a cheap suit at the moment. But I still think Warner's got to play this game, because he's going to start the first test match in Australia. So no point messing David Warner around.
Hey, Warnie, I'm interested in the celebrations tonight. You've driven back to London, but the cricketers tend to enjoy themselves after a big win. Talk us through who's the current player who gets into it like you used to back in the old days?
Well, I don't know the boys well enough. I know how much it would mean to those Australian guys to retain the urn. You know, for all of us Australians, it means so much. So there'll be lots of celebrations in the dressing room. Nathan Lyon will lead the team song when he's good and ready in that dressing room. I'm not sure Marnus Labuschagne will be the one. I'm sure there'll be a... we saw Jack Leach on social media reenact his single he got at Leeds. So maybe Marnus Labuschagne will be just ripping a few balls across the change room with some leg breaks, just talking about how he got the left-hander Leach out this time, the role reversal. And I'm sure there'll be a few glasses raised and the odd can or two.
And, mate, already they've been out in the ground terrorising Tony Jones. They've been pouring champagne on his head and running through his live cross for the Today Show.
Have they?
Yeah, so they're in good form, mate. Don't worry. They've unleashed. And, Wardy, can I just say this?
That's You've good.
Been brilliant commentating during this season, but there was one moment of commentary that has let you down. It was this on Friday night.
Just to finish on the AFL, must send a congratulations to Eddie Maguire, who's a good friend and president of Collingwood Footy Club. So congratulations to you, Ed, and your team. Huge win that against the Geelong Cats.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Well, you know, Ed's been very good. It was a great win from the Pies, mate. I just had to send a shout-out to Eddie. Looked after my daughter as well, Brooke, who it's very hard for me to say, and how the hell does that happen that my daughter barracks for Collingwood? So she's pumped for the prelim. Don't worry, she's pumped for the prelim, and I'll be hassling Eddie for tickets for Brooke as well. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, that explains a lot more.
Yes, exactly. Quid pro quo and all that. It was good, though. I was very happy to have Beefy sitting next to you at the same time, because he's a mad Collingwood supporter, Ian Botham. So it was great stuff. Warnie,
we were watching the match in between commentary stints. We had the Ashes out in the middle, and then we'll go back to the iPad watching the footy as well. So it was a pretty terrific weekend, that's for sure.
And I love it, mate. We've been doing the reverse. We've been calling the footy and watching the cricket on the iPad at the same time. It's been a bonanza for sport. Hey, Warnie, thanks for jumping on as always, mate. We love the fact that you take our call every time.
Good on you, mate.
And great stuff, mate. And good luck for the last test as well. Look forward to hearing your fine commentary as always.
Good on you, guys. Thanks very much. Go the Aussies.
How's that? Warnie actually told Marnus Labuschagne how to bowl that ball that broke us. Will we ever escape the bloke?
I maintain he will be your Prime Minister one day. Next up, from the Rush Air in Brisbane, our old mate Dobbo had a great extended chat with the Kingaroy crusher himself, Matty Hayden. You can check out the full excellent 10-minute chat on the Triple M app. Just search for the Rush Hour with Dobbo in the Brisbane section. Meanwhile, here's Haydos talking about the redemption of this Australian team under his old opening partner, Justin Langer.
Matthew Hayden, how bloody good is it to be an Australian cricket lover? Yeah, that's Brent, isn't it? I mean, he's a great caller at the best of times, Bumble, but when those words, those sacred words come out, and Australia has retained the Ashes. Oh, happy days, brother. That's so good, isn't it?
I said redemption a little bit this morning and used that word. Where Australian cricket has been over the last 18 months, I don't think anybody would have seen this recovery happen as quick as it did and to the level of professionalism and just complete dominance over the last 18 months since Justin Langer took over and Australia, I suppose, take two began.
Yeah, well, when you really look at what, as you say, Justin Langer inherited from Darren Lehman, it was just a dog pile. It really was. I mean, the senior management team at Cricket Australia are in trouble. There was an axing of not only the high performance manager, but also the CEO. And then new coach came on board. And I think more than anything, Dobba, it's the simple philosophies that have worked. It's the commitment to each other as mates. It's the hard work and discipline that goes into making any Australian side work, whether it be that cricket or any other sport. And it's that national pride. I mean, you can just honestly see how much they're playing for each other. When Pat Cummins took those two poles in the end of day four, you could just see everyone was engaged. Everyone on that field was excited. And that's the sort of leadership that comes with having the old school around, Justin Langer, Steve Waugh, these blokes. You know, they rally. They understand what it's like to play for mateship. And we as Australians, we all pull together in tough times. So it's just unreal, mate. I'm so incredibly proud of Justin. And I couldn't unfortunately get on to JL today. Who am I? His partner? No worries. Rush me, but no, he texted me and said, Doss, this means a lot. And that's all he really has to say because he has put so much energy. It's not just, and I think we were talking about this last time, it's not just that sort of group of 16 to even double that 30, including support staff that are away. But he's a great communicator, JL, so he'll be talking to all the state coaches and he'll be making sure that the grassroots in the game is solid. And the reason why is because he understands the benefit of growing up in a system at grade level, state level and Australian level that all thrives around building each other's success. And that common story is something that you see at the pinnacle of the game in moments like the one we heard Bumble call, you know, famously, that we have retained the Ashes. And look, I guarantee you, Dobbo, he will not be happy either, JL. And he'll be drilling over the next couple of days his boys to ensure that this is not just a drawn test series. This is a winning test match series, and they deserve it.
That's a brilliant insight into Langer there. And it's I think it's fair to say the results in England aren't a fluke. He and his whole team worked their butts off to make this happen. Okay, the other side of the country now, it's another rush hour, this time down in Adelaide with Jars and Louis, who tracked down Rodney Hogg on a golf course for his reaction.
Hoggy, welcome to the rush hour.
I'm actually in Sydney in the wind, and it was a magnificent win by the New South Wales cricket team, wasn't it? Smith and the four New South Wales fast bowlers. The Ashes have been won by New South Wales. Victoria did nothing. South Australia, nothing. Western Australia, oh, Langer coached them. So well done to New South Wales.
Well, what it is good, Hoggy, is it's been finally admitted that it is the baggy blue.
It is the baggy blue.
It's right, it's the baggy blue. It's not the baggy green.
You must be proud, Hoggy. You must be proud what you watched because, you know, backs to the wall, what Tim Payne series. Under pressure. Smith, greatest batsman of all time.
Well, fair enough. We've been arguing about Ponting versus Greg Chappell, and now we know that Steve Smith's definitely the second best batsman to Bradman. I don't know about the word proud, but I just, Cummins, he's the nicest bloke. I don't know how he could be a fast bowler. He's just, I don't know if you blokes have met him in life. No. He is so humble, and he's just an absolute champ. And Hazel is not far behind him, and Stark, and Pattinson, and Siddle. The whole attack, they're a good bunch. And I thought Lyon, people criticised him about not getting a lot of wickets, but he played a role. Mm. We've gone into this series, guys, with only four bowlers, and that's a bit unheard of in the current way cricket's played. And Lyon played his part because he bowled so many overs from one end and kept it so tight that Lyon played a great role. So, and the quicks operated from the other end. But, you know, Peter Siddle did his role the first couple of test matches. He won, helped with that partnership of 40 in the first test match, which steered us back for a victory there. So, you know, everyone can hold their head up high, and I'm pretty sure. I don't know how we'll go into this next test match, but certainly we've got the wood on them, and they're down and out. So you'd like to just grind them at the Oval, wouldn't you?
Hoggy, where's it sit from an Ashes point of view? It's being talked up as one of the greatest series for a long, long time, and throwing the feats of Smith and a few of the fast bowlers, it's surely, and Stokes, it's really got to sit up there somewhere, doesn't it?
Well, it's been so entertaining, but it's the worst batting ever, gentlemen, isn't it, really? Yeah, the English have brought no one. You look at it, three or four of their bats and they're pathetic, and a couple of their blokes are hopeless. So the last Ashes, we had 300-run partnerships. Australia had 300-run partnerships, and we lost it in 2015. This time we haven't had a partnership over about 15 opening the batting. So usually your openers are pretty key men in England, but because their batting's been so pathetic. So it's the Ashes where the batsmen didn't turn up, but it's been so exciting. And to see, you know, Leeds, you can't buy that. That last day, that was just, the footy crowd. It was a footy crowd for 6 hours.
Yep, amazing.
Hey, does Joe Root stand down and Ben Stokes takes over as captain?
No, Ben Stokes doesn't captain the team. Both of them couldn't do it, and Stokes can't do it. When you play the sort of cricket that Stokes plays, he's aggressive, and they don't make captains. No, you can't be captain. No. Okay. They'll probably stay with Root because they've got no one else. Yeah. We haven't really got anybody else to captain us, and they haven't got anybody else to captain them.
David Warner, three quacks in a row. Is Davey hang on for the fifth test?
Look, he's a champ, and you give champs the extra hits. But Broad's all over him, and Broad's rising to the occasion. He's got a real sense. Jars, when you played footy and you knew you could really dominate someone, you played better.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment he's getting all the good balls from Broad. So he'll probably think he'll play at the Oval and fail. But if I was Khawaja, he's got a batting average of 70, opening the batting for Australia, Khawaja. Mm. And we've got the best partnership this series is about 15. So Khawaja would be pretty annoyed if he didn't get a run in the last test match.
I reckon so. Hoggy, who was yours? Who was your one that you had?
It was your bunny.
You used to like bowling.
Mike Brearley. Got him out 28 times in the 78, 79 Ashes. Mike could not bat. He was pathetic. He was nearly as bad as that Roy Blake. Roy cannot bat. He's hopeless.
He's terrible.
Have you seen a technique like it?
No, I don't know where he dreamt it up.
bring back Derek Randall.
Well, do you want to just say something about Cummins, guys, versus Lilly? Now, Dennis Keith Lilly bowled a length. People don't probably understand. He bowled a length where he used to hit high on the bat and people couldn't drive him. This kid does the same length as Lilly, except he's 4.5 inches taller. Wow. It's amazing. They just couldn't get on the front foot to him, and he just keeps going, doesn't he? He's a champ, an absolute champ. Yeah. I've got to go. Sorry, guys. I've got to go to the score shot.
We've still got a minute to go.
Shout out to the baggy blue.
Fill it in with a bit of laughter.
Mate,
there you go.
It's taken. He's bounced. You know who he doesn't want to be? He doesn't want to be Bryson DeChambeau, who's getting in all sorts of trouble for slow play in golf on the USPGA. Oh,
that's what's happening. Yeah, he's been called.
And, Hoggy's been called time, and he needs to hit.
He just bounced us.
How is that even possible? There's no way we're sending an invoice. No way.
He charges top dollar.
Hoggy, if you're listening.
He's gone, Luke.
Well, Rodney, you're only getting half.
I'm telling you right now.
He's gone.
Oh, that was about 145k.
I felt like Mike Brearley.
So, Hoggy, before he ran off to play golf in the middle of the interview, in awe of Patty Cummins, and rightly so, Smith may get all your headlines, but Cummins bowling, I reckon, has been just as important as winning this series for you guys. He's stood out as the best bowler on either side and completely deserving of that world number one status.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think we're looking at an all-time great in the making there. Yep. What did you make of what Hoggy said about Joe Root? Do you reckon they'll sack him, or is he in the job because he's the only bloke who's remotely suited and also guaranteed to be picked? Or really, he's had a bad 6 weeks with the bat and also as a leader.
Yeah, it's been a shocker for him. Sadly, I think Hoggy's spot on. Leadership is thinner on the ground for us than Jack Leach's hairline.
It's poorer than his eyesight too, judging by how often he had to polish those glasses. In Sydney, Moonman in the Morning had a Triple M cricket favourite, Swervin' Mervyn Hughes. He would have celebrated as hard as anyone.
Yes, good morning. What a great morning it is.
Brilliant. Oh.
Big night for you, Merv.
Actually, I went to bed at team to sort of follow at lunch, sorry, and followed the scores on the way through. But after that first hour, you just thought England are really having a go here, and you picked up those two wickets. So Pat Cummins was exceptional in that first session.
Yeah,
got Australia on the road. Then Lyon picks up that early wicket after lunch, and then it just steamrolled from there. And the great thing about the Australian team, they didn't panic. They just stuck to the process and got the job done.
Yeah, that was a big day for them. They knew what was on the hook and in the balance here, apart from Steve Smith being the obvious difference, have we got the bowling attack right? Because I thought it looked great.
Yeah, it does. I think when you play Pattinson, Hazelwood and Cummins, it's all a little bit too much the same. They all hit the pitch back of a length and attack the batsman. Starks, the left-hander, obviously, for an angle. And when Peter Siddle comes into that side. So we just have a little bit of a mix there. And listen, Langer and the selectors have been criticised for the use of the bowling attack, but mate, you can't criticise a win. And I reckon they've actually rotated the bowlers really well.
Merv, you love your cricket more than most, and you're a real student of the game. What do you reckon, Steve Smith? Is he seriously the best batsman in the world since Donald Bradman?
Well, we said that about Steve Waugh, and then Ricky Ponting came along, and now Steve Smith. So I'll go on record as saying Steve Smith is the best Australian batsman since Ricky Ponting. There you go.
That's a big statement. That's not a big statement,
Merv. Listen, there's arguments for it, isn't there? He's averaging up around that 70 mark, and no one else has done that. He plays in all conditions. He plays all around the wicket. He's a fantastic player, without doubt.
Merv, I heard something overnight that if Steve Smith has 30 ducks in a row in these next 30 innings, he will still average 50 in Test cricket.
Mate, let's hope that doesn't happen. But I suppose all focus turns to the fifth Test now. And while Australia have retained the Ashes, the one thing you can be sure of is they'll want to win this series.
Absolutely. Do you reckon any changes, Murphy?
There may be a few changes because it's been a heavy workload on the bowlers. So we'll just see how the bowlers pull up. And they may well rest Pat Cummins because he's had an outstanding series. He's had a long series and they'll be wanting to have him and make sure that he's right going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if they rest him and play Pattinson. And that's up to the selectors. It's not up to the players because the players just want to play all the time. Mm. But it'll be interesting what they do. Maybe a change at the top of the order if they get a right-hander back in so Broad can't have his way with the left-handers. So whether that be Warner or Harris, I'm not sure. But I'll be sticking with Warner. We know what a great player he is. He's been through a tough time. I'm hopeful that he plays at the Oval and he peels off a ton.
Well, great to see you back in. Merv Hughes, Aussie fast bowling legend, celebrating Australia retaining the Ashes. Thanks for your time, Merv.
Thanks, Merv.
Okay, guys,
love you.
Just one thing I've got to say. Australia, you bloody you.
Yes, Merv. Now, that was the sound of a man very aware that he wasn't allowed to swear on air.
God, he really hates English people, doesn't he?
More than you could possibly imagine. In Melbourne, we had Billy Brownless and Triple M Cricket's James Brayshaw, who spoke to Cam White on the Rush Hour, where he gave another big review. Check out the Rush Hour Melbourne on Triple M app for that whole thing. And he also spoke about one of the few worries for Australia, the form of David Warner.
Who opens for the fifth Test for Australia?
Oh, and then going forward, Bill, who opens when we get, you know, I think we play Pakistan here in November as well, and the next Test after that, like... You know, Warner. What are you doing with Warner, Bill?
No, I'm dropping him. Or we might find a witch doctor or something, Jim, to
turn around the spell you put on him.
Turn around the spell on him.
Yeah, I know that you said he had a pretty quiet, you know, World Cup after he'd made 3 tons in the first five games, but he probably has had a decent, you know, pretty quiet series this one, Bill.
Quiet. So he's averaged 9.
I think maybe a bit of a conversation would be had with Warner and to see what he wants to do moving forward, I guess. If he wants to continue playing Test cricket, you know, beyond this series, well, then I think they'll probably stick with him. Mm. But if he's, you know, angling maybe of going down the 2020 path or white ball cricket only out, you know, beyond this series, I think we might make a change. But I think we'll try and pick the 11 that, you know, got the job done or hopefully stay with.
8 innings is long enough. He could not do one single bit of complaining, Whitey, if they said you're out for the fifth Test. That is more than enough of an opportunity to make runs in a series. To make 150 in 8 innings is not getting the job done. And poor old Smudge, we're talking about him before, he may as well walk out with the openers and number 3.
Stand square leg
umpire because he's out there within a second anyway.
Yeah, we'll just get Joe Root. He can walk out with the Palms openers and that's it. Smithy to walk out with ours. But look, yeah, I think as good as Warner's record is and all the credits he's probably used up, hasn't he? So they probably have to make a decision. I think they'll probably have that sort of conversation like that. And if he wants to play white ball cricket or go on the T20 circuit, that might be his last Test.
Waja comes in then, does he?
Or do we want a right-hander? You know, Broad, as Jim said, has got it all over our left-handers. Yeah. So do we go for another right-hander? I'm not really sure. And who knows what the first test will look like back here in Australia.
Normally, pretty flat, the Oval too. It's probably of all of their test playing venues, it's the one you most want to bat on. The pitches have been poor, I reckon, throughout this whole series. Like, normally they're better.
Been very flat throughout the game, haven't they? Even, like, you know, to an extent there last night, Manchester, which is usually, you know, a pitch that really, you know, and then really deteriorates and really goes downhill late in the game. It's sort of, as you could see, the tail end has still found a way to hold on for a few hours at least there. So, yeah, maybe a bit flatter than usual. So I'm not sure if the Poms are worried about our pace attack, Jim. So
don't know.
Who knows?
Joe Burns, is he over there playing county cricket?
I think he had a little stint back here in Australia, but he's back over there now. I don't think they'll pull someone from outside the squad to jump into the 11 bill. But so I reckon
Mitch Marsh,
you like? I think Mitch Marsh is a very big chance to play, just because if they do want to play Pat Cummings and, you know, keep this fast bowling, you know, unit together, playing the all rounder will sort of, you know, chop out their workload a bit.
Yeah,
fascinating watch though for me. We've got these tests, as you say, Pakistan and then New Zealand coming up. In five test time, what will that top six look like? Will Liam Patterson come back in? Will Joe Burns come in and open? What are we going to do to set up the next 30 tests for this group?
Well, I think it'll be a bit like leading into the Ashes. It'll be whoever's making runs. I think there'll be a few Sheffield Shield matches back here domestically in Australia. So I think, knowing what Justin Langer has said in the past, he'll just say, look, boys, there's a lot of spots up for grabs here. If you're good enough to make, you know, peel off 200 or 300 in the Shield early in the Shield season, well, you know, you'll probably get a game.
You've seen Will Pekoski up close.
Yes.
Is he a test batsman? Is he worth playing in this first test back here?
Yeah, of course. Will is the best young player I think I've ever seen for his age, and, you know, and red ball cricket as well. So I think if he's one that we would pencil in, he's, you know, definitely no worse than all those guys you've just reeled off, your Pattersons, even some of the guys in the... He wouldn't be out of place in that lineup at the moment, so I think he's the youngest of them. He could be the next generational sort of player, so let's have a look.
Good. Nice. I like that.
There's some really great stuff in that chat, by the way. Cam White speaks absolutely beautifully about Tim Payne's captaincy, which I've been pretty critical of on the Daily Fan podcast, and Steve Smith's batting. Check that one out on the Triple M app.
Yes, do so. But before we wrap up, we've had Ashes winners, century makers and wicket takers from Australia's rich past. So how better to finish off than Triple M cricket star man, Mick Molloy? He has a special message that's aimed pretty firmly at you, I reckon, Balotz.
Oh, that's nice of him.
I like that. Gone, that's better. Finger goes up. Bounce. Superb captaincy. What a change. Labuschagne with the bat all series. It's Labuschagne with the ball.
And Ben Stokes is walking. That is a massive wicket for Australia.
Oh, big shot, big shot. What's he doing? Australia retain the Ashes. Magnificent game of cricket here at Old Trafford.
I'm really proud to be a part of this group of boys.
Very emotional. A lot of people have put in some really hard work for this to happen. We've got one test to go to win the Ashes. It's nice that we've got them coming back, but we'd like to finish this series off. We deserve to win the series completely.
Boo us all you like, you weak bastards. Cop that.
Yeah.
You had your ass served you on a plate. We should have won it last time, except for interference from umpiring decisions, and we got you. We got you. We outplayed you from start to finish. Your behaviour, even the constant booing, which I don't want to appear a sore winner here, but it had nothing to do with them anyway. Mm.
We were over
in South Africa. And let's be honest, they have a rich history of...
Not the best.
Bending the rules. Anyone want to see Joffa's passport, by the way? They actually changed the rules to get him into the World Cup team. So
cheating. How about Joe Root? About Joe Root? Going like ducks that were like, that was like, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, well.
Cocky Joe.
Yeah.
Come on,
no,
mate.
He's, anyway, can I just say, what a great test it was. I mean, we've all seen the exploits of Steve Smith. That's on another level.
It's unbelievable.
Everyone around the world. I don't think we've seen it in our lifetime.
No.
Anyone dominate a test series to think he missed test and is still the top scorer by a mile. Even in the second innings when they had to bat like crazy, he's knocked up 82 in quick time. And he's gone out twice now over 200, reverse sweeping. He's hard to get out.
So what a psychological...
He's a fierce competitor, and that was just one of the... In our lifetime, as I said, the closest comparisons you can make to Don Bradman are there. His last 8-9 test innings are just off the charts at test level anyway.
That's right.
He has no peer.
Well, well done. Also, well, Pat Cummins as well. You know,
Pat Cummins. Oh, yeah. Well, he's the best bowler in the world. Has been just for ages. Dominated. I remember when he burst.
It was so exciting.
When he burst onto the scene as a kid, and you'll remember after that, he had quite a few issues with health issues. Yeah. He was injured a lot. He was a big fast bowler who they couldn't get on the pack. But I remember seeing him in South Africa bowl a spell which was as fast and fiery as I've ever seen. And you can often see just a little glimpse of the future in a young fast bowler. And this was a terrifying spell of fast bowling that the South African batsmen still say.
Timing's sweet now, though, isn't it?
Up there with the greatest. Hats off, too, to Tim Payne, who copped a bit after certain decisions in the last test, but was spot on.
Yep.
Absolutely spot on in this test.
Do we have to credit any of the Australian selectors now and say well played or well?
Well, I think we did that when he came onto the scene and was a steadying influence. But in this particular test, he got two things right. He got the declaration, which was quite aggressive.
Okay. Yeah.
So you've got the Poms, who at the time they played dirty pool. The Poms they would do their overrate. They knew they didn't want us to bat again. They didn't want us to declare. Mm. They knew this was on the cards. Mm-hmm. Their overrate was 7 minutes and over.
Right, really?
It's unheard of.
Right.
And in the middle of it, Payne was out there and goes, you know what? Stuff this. He declared in the middle of the over, went out, came back and took two wickets in two balls and got the ball rolling.
Does he consult with anyone over that? Or is that his just captain's call?
I think he's made a captain's call because he just had enough.
Good for him.
Of the stone wall. So there was that. And the decision to bring Marnus Lanashane on at the end when things were drying up a bit. He got it right. Australia got it right. And it just gives me great pleasure to take it. You don't see it often on their soil. And after their fairly shitty treatment.
And they're pretty happy too, those boys, aren't they?
They should be. That's no small order.
So congratulations to them all.
And my faith in Australian cricket has been restored.
Well, that's good because I was worried. I was worried your faith had gone.
Yeah, well, I'm back. By the way, and thank you, Channel 9, for ruining what is one of the great moments in Australian sport. Mm. Always one of the great contests. Mm. And you put it again. I was able to watch on Friday night. I was able to watch on Saturday night. And then you decided the block was too important. He went back to gym, where about a handful of people I know could not get it. And it's terrible because I got to miss what Todd Woodbridge said about the game because I was really looking forward to seeing him decipher.
You should have come round to my house and sat on the edge of my bed and watched it with me.
Not again. I refuse to do that again. But just great to hear what Todd Woodbridge had to say.
I know, you're a big fan.
As a cricket fan, I just think it's fantastic. Makes me wonder why they bothered with Richie Beno all these years. Why didn't they just get Wally Masur to host
Good idea. Why don't we ask?
What about Osher Gunsberg? Do you reckon they rang Osher and said, hey Osher, the most revered sporting contest in Australia.
Osher might be busy with the horse racing. Be calling the Melbourne Cup.
But well done. It's great respect shown by the Nine Network too.
Do you want to hear anything?
The greatest. Hear what?
Some of the highlights. I like hearing it.
We've already played it.
Don't you listen to anything that happens on it?
I want to hear it again.
Do you only listen when you're talking? I think we've done it.
I just like to know what
Do you know what we're talking about? It's Test cricket.
I do. Okay.
Do you want to start the whole break again?
No. My apologies.
Hey, hats off, boys.
Yeah, well done,
go hard. Sing the song. Go nuts. Have a ball. Come home victorious. Well played, lads.
Well said, Mick. That's the lot for this Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast special. Australia retaining the Ashes, and we'll hold on to it for another, normally about 30 months. Isn't it between these ones? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So we've celebrated the return of the Earned Down Under. Follow at Triple M Cricket on our Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Subscribe to Triple M Cricket on the app, and you'll get all your cricket stuff from there. We look ahead to the last test starting Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow for a preview of that. Yep, I think cricket never stops around here. So that's it for us. I've been your host Rudy Edsel, and I've been joined by Matt Bellotti.
Thanks very much.
We'll catch you later.